be a lousy scab or will you be a man?
Well, that's Pete Seeger. And we are joined, I believe, by Mike Hirsch of the United Steelworkers. Are you there, Mike?
Yes, I am, Phil.
Thank you very much, Mike. We have, of course, a sad and maybe sad and celebratory would be the way to put it, at the loss of Mike Seward, a major figure in Toronto labor circles, well-known in the steelworkers, well-known in NDP.
Yeah.
A man you could count on. That's why we chose Pete Seeger's Which Side Are You On? Mike Seward knew which side he was on. Talk to us about Mike Seward.
Mike Seward was, I called him the salt of the earth, actually. And I'd only seen the movie, The Salt of the Earth, about miners, speaking of Which Side Are You On? But I looked it up in the dictionary before his funeral on Saturday. And The Salt of the Earth, they had three words: decent, dependable, and unpretentious. And that was Mike Seward. He was a good man. He was what you saw is what you got. He had been president of his local at Reynolds Extrusion, steelworker local. He was president of the Toronto Area Council. He was president of the Labor Council on an interim basis before John Cartwright. Mm-hmm. Mike and I go back 1975, actually. His local, Reynolds Extrusion, had been an ironworkers local, and they switched over to the steelworkers in 75. And his local union president, Dennis Smith, sent him to his first union school, and it was in Elliott Lake. And the first people he ran into were the chief stewards of Local 2900, my local. My local 2900 was the oldest local of the steelworkers in Toronto, 1943. And we had a record of being militant anti-establishment, so he ran into the right people, as he used to say.
Maybe he had the intuition.
What's that?
I said it must have been his intuition.
You know what? It's just funny. I mean, I was the first person he ran into, and then I introduced him. We were all chief stewards at Inglis at that time, and we just hit it off because he knew American history as well as I did. He knew Irish history. He's from Newfoundland, but he read a lot, and we were all impressed with him. But you know what really brought us together was that first day was music, because we all liked Pete Seeger and Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen, and he loved Irish songs, and one of my chief stewards, John Collins. He and I used to, I play guitar and harmonica, and John used to sing Irish songs. And so while we talked music that first night in Elliott Lake, and Mike came into, I guess it was my room or one of our rooms, and I just happened to have my guitar and harmonica, and I played bourgeois blues and a few other songs that I play. And John sang what became Mike's favorite song, actually, of John Collins' Waltzing Matilda, and the band played Waltzing Matilda, an anti-war song. And Mike said, I remember, he says, you know, I'm not the only one that should be listening to this stuff. And so I took my guitar and harmonica. We all took the beers we had. He held my beer. And we went up and down the corridors and knocked on the door of every steelworker in that in the dormitory. And there was a Pied Piper routine. They all followed behind me. It was the best school I ever went to, I must tell you. And then we sang mostly Irish songs that first night.
Yes.
Well,
they have the best revolutionary songs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, Mike was a big supporter of Sinn Féin. Mm-hmm. Actually, Mike...
Right, Bobby Sands.
Yeah, my local 2900.
I remember him
actually,
now at the Bobby Sands Memorial.
We donated 200 bucks. John Collins, actually, the chief steward I was referring to, he brought it up in the meeting. I seconded it. And Mike wanted us to do it. He couldn't do it in his own local. We had a pretty political local, 2900. And so we donated 200 bucks to Bobby Sands and the hunger strikers. But what was that, 80, 81?
Mm-hmm. 81. I'm
and
so, 81, 82.
But it was, and Mike was, I mean, he wasn't just the salt of the earth. It's more than that, because he was very principled. He attended every picket line of any steelworker or any union, actually, across Canada. Mm-hmm. he was involved. He went to every demonstration, whether it be on the environment or daycare or women's rights. Or he went to South Africa, and he was he fought against apartheid. He was pro-Sinn Féin, like I say. Mm-hmm. The week before he died, actually, he had just come back from Westray in Nova Scotia, the Westray mine disaster, May 9th, 1972, 26 miners got killed by in an explosion because of unsafe conditions, actually, in the mine.
Very.
And there was a 25th anniversary of that, and Mike and Peter Boyle of the Steelworkers and Al Head and a few others, Andy King, all went to be with the survivors of that, the spouses. Everybody died in the mine. Mm-hmm. And the bodies remained in that mine, which is that's not what usually happens in a mine disaster.
Mm-hmm.
He had just come back just a few days before. I think he came back on the Tuesday before he died. Mm-hmm. And he called me on Wednesday. He died on Saturday morning, and we were supposed to get together on Friday. We were in touch all the time. Mm-hmm. Mike was internal to the union. Mike was also, as I say, he was very principled. So he wasn't afraid to take stands that would be unpopular. He campaigned for people who were anti-establishment, progressive. He was instrumental in the Dave Patterson campaign back in 81.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, Mike, he also was courageous, actually, because the rest of us, I was vice president of my local at that time, and I think of the other people in the aluminum industry, Charlie Nixon, Sinclair Wharton. We were all vice presidents. Mike was the only president of his local, Reynolds. And so he had to go to area council meetings and take on everybody pretty much by himself.
Something he delighted in, frankly.
Yeah, he did.
He's not afraid of anybody.
The only president that would sit with him was mine, Paul Ryan. And so and Mike would come walking there with his Dave Patterson button and his shovel. You remember? I don't know if you remember that shovel that was part of the strike.
Yes, I do. I've got one of the shovels.
Mike collected pins, sold pins. He was into all that kind of
stuff. I hope you guys have turned quickly, get a hold of that, and make it a steelworker museum. He must have the greatest collection of pins of anybody. Everybody's
got pins.
He's very competitive.
You know, it's funny. In my office here, I'm at work. I'm in the national office of the Steelworkers Union. I just remembered that I have three boxes of his stuff here, and I'm just looking at pictures.
Tell him to put that up on the site somewhere. We're in a new age now where people can see all these wonderful things.
And so I'm just looking at it as I'm speaking. There's a picture from 1977. There's Mike in the front row. He's just like 20-something years old there.
I'm going to take your word for that.
And you know who else is? Leo Gerard's in this picture. He was just a
Leo Gerard is current international president of the Steelworkers.
International president of the Steelworkers. He's also in this picture.
Well, another name, by the way, that we have to associate here is Peter Leibovich,
another
steelworker and wonderful leader. And both of these guys had the rank and file. People use this word and abuse it, the term rank and file, but these guys were the real deal.
Oh, absolutely.
And
Peter Leibovich was a millwright, and he was a president of Local 8782 at Lake Erie. And Mike was a machine operator and then became a lead hand at Reynolds Extrusion. These guys came from the shop floor. They were presidents of their locals. They were brave, courageous, progressive. I mean, these guys, yeah, they were the real deal. And both of them salt to the earth, actually.
Well, the union and the NDP ought to go out of their way to mark these gentlemen, but particularly today, of course, Mike Seward we're speaking of. But I can, my memory, I liked his type of leadership because he would call me out of the blue and say, Phil, a bunch of people volunteered to help me put up signs, but nobody's here. I'm going to come pick you up.
Well, I should
say,
nice
to hear from you, Mike. I'll be in front of
I'll be standing
in front of the house.
He loved talking history with you, American history.
Yeah. Well, we say history primarily labor history.
Yeah.
And yes. No, look, Upton Sinclair wrote a novel in the 1920s called Jimmy Higgins. And it was dedicated to a rank-and-file guy who had all the skills, but he was quite – what he did was deliver whenever the union needed him or they needed a rally or they had an important speaker. And that's exactly Mike Seward.
I mean, you know, you throw a bullhorn at him, and, you know, he didn't even know he was going to be speaking, and all of a sudden he's the MC of an event, you know, one of those kind of guys. And he relished all of that. I mean, mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being the center of attention like that, actually, because he had no ego at all. You know, it's funny, I learned a few things about him, and I've known him for almost 40 years, over 40 years. Mm-hmm. He never had a car. He never had material things. He never had a license. Mm-hmm. You know, he lived with his sisters. He's just a genuine, decent kind of guy, you know, mm-hmm. No pretension at all. Working class.
Well, the perennial core. Leader of his local, right? I mean, people knew that that's the best you're going to get here.
Yeah.
This is the guy.
Yeah.
They were satisfied. Just make sure he's got the job.
Well,
and
he
then
was
he met, and you say he was
Metro
Labor.
I became president in 81. He became mm-hmm. president the term before me. Mm-hmm. He'd been a president a long time. His plant just closed down about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. He outlived the plant.
Yeah.
And you say president of Metro District Labor, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, he was the president. What John Cartwright does now, he was the president of the Labor Council.
Yeah.
And president of the Toronto Area Council. And he ran, for the NDP in Aurora, I think, two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got his 400 or 500 votes.
Mm-hmm.
He was relentless, dogged. I mean, the man was an incredible man, actually.
Mm-hmm. Now we've had the funeral. Is there going to be a special? Will the steelworkers, you suppose, have a memorial meeting?
Actually, I think the OFL is doing a thing this Thursday, the Ontario Federation of Labor,
mm-hmm.
at Gervais. One of the sisters, Mary Seward, told me that. The steelworkers are going to have something. We haven't got a date yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be singing at it. Actually, John, Mike's two favorite songs that first night at Elliott Lake were Bourgeois Blues, which I sing,
mm-hmm.
and Lead Belly Song, Against Racism, mm-hmm. and the band played Waltz and Matilda, the anti-war Irish song okay. John Collins is going to sing.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to sing it at the memorial. It'll be sometime in June. It'll be at Cecil Street. Carolyn
okay.
Egan, president of Toronto Area Council now, just sent me an email saying they're working on it. So,
well we are going to follow that very closely, and we'll make sure that we will talk to you again at that time, and we will play both Bourgeois Blues and Waltzing Matilda, Tilda, and we're going to remember the wonderful labor leader, Mike Seward, and we're speaking to Mike Hirsch. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure, Phil.
Okay, doke. Bye-bye. And that was Mike Hirsch, United Steelworkers, who is himself a distinguished labor leader in this city and well-known across the country. And these are people, Mike's used the right expression, soul to the earth, and we got to make sure we don't let those who counted on them, people who rely on people like Mike Seward, that's the guy who's carrying the load. Sometimes your people who are sitting on top of the load just think that somebody else will come and carry them. You got to appreciate Mike Seward. I use that expression, Jimmy Higgins, novel by Upton Sinclair, if you want to get a taste of this kind of individual. This is Phil Taylor for the Taylor Report. I am very grateful that Carol is here today and saw us through this difficult maze of interviews and Skype and all that stuff. We'll see you next week.